The following business conversation is brought to you by Trudon, the publisher of the Yellow Pages and proud supporter of small business in South Africa.
Hello.
Hi, Dave from A1 Builders in Pretoria.
Yeah.
It's Dan. I found your number on the internet and I need you to build me a room, the purpose of which I cannot disclose.
What?
Fine. It's a sunroom. Can you start immediately?
It's 4 a.m.
I'm sure it's 4 a.m. somewhere, Dave, but here in SA, it's 10.
You mean USA?
There's more than one Pretoria out there. For the quickest and most efficient way to find what you're looking for, start your search with yellowpages.co.za or download the app. Yellow Pages, for local, reliable results.
This is Leadership Platform, Small Medium Business Leadership Conversation, and it's great to be with you. I'm Adrian Groenewald. Stay tuned, 12 to 1 is our main Leadership Masterclass as well. It's going to be an exciting conversation about how seamless leaders prepare themselves to do the impossible, and we have a fantastic panel in the studio. So stay tuned for that specific one. With me today is Richard Angus and Louis Groenewald. Richard, welcome.
Hi, Adrian. How are you doing?
Good, good. A little bit better than last week. The traffic mess today just flowed beautifully.
Yeah.
It's good to have you with us. We have a fascinating guest. I think every couple of weeks we try and squeeze in amidst the curriculum of running your small, medium business, finance and marketing and tax issues. We try and put someone on the platform and showcase a real entrepreneur, someone who's started with nothing, someone who's trying to make a success themselves and are. So that's what we do today. We have had some fantastic, interesting guests in the studio. So practically, how do they do it? On Skype, we've got from Cape Town, Tamir, welcome.
Thanks for having me on your show.
That's great. Let me just make sure I got it right. Is it Tamir Tune Murat?
Well, Thamir is my first name. Tune's my nickname.
Okay.
So a lot of people can't pronounce Thamir, so everybody just calls me Tune.
Tune.
It's easier.
So it's actually Thamir. Okay, Thamir.
Thamir, here we go.
Not the Ta. Okay.
Thamir. No, it's T-H, yeah.
Yeah. You're an author, sales trainer, speaker, entrepreneur, reality TV, and much more. You run conferences. You're a busy man.
Yeah, well, I just became the ambassador for BMW Auto Atlantic. I just picked up my BMW now, and you actually got me while I'm driving out of the garage. So I'm quite busy at the moment.
Good timing, man. Good timing.
Good timing, yeah.
Give us your background, Tamir. We know each other via Twitter pretty much, and hopefully we get to know you better. You certainly have your fingers in everywhere. You seem to get around. You're based in Cape Town. Where did you grow up? And
I grew up. Well, I went to school at Paul Boys. I grew up in Paul. If you know a bit of my story, it's in my. That's why my first sales autobiography, "Mama, I Sold You." Well, it explains how I became. I fell into sales by chance, and I became an entrepreneur by chance. My dad was really wealthy. He owned the fishing industry in Paul, and when I was in matric, he went bankrupt to the stage where we were homeless. And I had to make. I was sort of forced to become an entrepreneur and try and win everything back. And that's in a nutshell where it started.
For a lot of people, that's sales becomes a real life changer, doesn't it? Direct marketing or just sales per se. You don't need to have a PhD or master's degree or anything. You can actually, if you're driven and if you have some ability, you can change your life.
Well, I always say that everything in life is sales related. And when I say everything, I mean go for a job interview. What are you doing? Selling yourself. Go meet the in-laws. What do you do? You got to sell yourself. Get a radio interview. What am I doing right now? Selling myself. So everything in life is sales related. People who say they aren't in the sales industry, they're living in a fairy tale. Everything you do in life is sales related. So invest in your sales health, because that is what I dropped out of varsity in my first year. And the day I decided that this is what I was going to do, it's all about sales. I got to be able to sell myself and just focus on betting myself as a salesperson. Was the day that I started making money.
It's like someone who's in a big corporate environment and they say, I'm not involved in corporate politics. Well, I'm afraid you're either a player or you're being played, but you're always part of corporate politics.
Exactly. The same with sales. Whatever you do in life,
sales,
you're going to be affected in some way by your sales health. So investing in your sales health is probably one of the most important things you can invest in.
Okay, so you did start with nothing. You've tasted poverty. You've tasted, no doubt, failure. We'll get there. But just tell us what keeps you busy now. Maybe it's like five or six main streams, but just give us a feeling of what drives you. What do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, at the moment, I own a call center in Paul where we sell different products that I built myself. I started out in the call center industry with my first sales job, And then over the years, obviously, I partnered with a couple of people and we owned a couple of sales call centers. So on a day-to-day basis, I own a call center where there's 60 people working for me. And at the same time, I'm involved with Seven Stars Energy Drink. We do the Boilum distribution. And then also, I own a fish factory in Paul. At the same time, I'm launching a media and client relations platform called Facilis with my business partner, Tracy McGregor. And then Tracy and I also did the reality show Sell Hard, where we found the best salespeople in the Western Cape and showcased their talent on TV. The winner actually runs Facilis. We're busy with season two now, and we're busy with either probably going to be doing it on ETV. It's something I can't speak about, but season two is going to be coming up before the end of the year, probably over a three-month period. So on a day-to-day basis, like you said, I'm a serial entrepreneur. So you always have things that you are doing. Also, my events company, SAYE, South African Entrepreneur Zone, we're doing Africa Rise 2 on the 16th of June at Rogaland Country House. So at the moment, that's keeping me really busy. We're expecting 4,000 people at that event at Rogaland Farm on the 16th of June.
All right. So I've got Richard Angus here. Also, we'll have a few questions for you. He's also an entrepreneur and a chartered accountant and used to be in big corporate, now running his own thing. So he can speak from all angles. I just want to know one or two key lessons that you've learned over the last few years as you've done your own thing. Just what stands out in your mind?
I've got to say, sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. Most of the times you'll be upside down. So you've got to know, as an entrepreneur, it's not going to be easy. Sometimes you're going to be living the life and you're going to be flying to Istanbul. I mean, I travel the world where I speak at conferences and summits and everything's just going well. You're living the best hotels. And there are going to be months where you can't wait for the end of the month to come for money to come in. So becoming an entrepreneur, you got to know that it's not going to be easy. Some months you will have, and you've got to prepare yourself for that lifestyle. If you can't handle that type of lifestyle, then I would say stay working for boss. But what I've learned is that simply, sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. Most of the times, you'll be thereabouts, upside down.
Yeah, we had another serial entrepreneur in the studio a few weeks ago, Fissa du Plessis, who's been an actor, kind of like you. He's been a bit of a model actor,
yes,
and running his own businesses these days. And he explained very clearly that don't think cash flow headaches stop when you are successful. Even Richard Branson, I think there was a time that hardly any of his businesses were successful. The only one was Virgin Airlines, and he had to somehow distribute that cash across to various businesses just to stay alive. So some headaches.
I mean, it's weird that you mention that now, because we're sitting, it's the 26th of the month, right? And it's not that you don't have money, but cash flow is always key. And always towards the end of the month when the big bills come, that's what people don't understand. You have massive overheads and you have massive bills to pay. And it's a lot of entrepreneurs, they've got the property and yes, they've got the assets to back it, but cash flow is key. If you don't have cash flow, that is always a problem. Every business struggles with cash flow, especially in the current economy and the current state of our environment that we're in at the moment. Cash flow is key.
You fight your backside off to get money from people, but everyone wants the money from you now.
So exactly.
It's kind of never changes. Richard is in the studio. Go for it, Richard.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Tamir. Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like the story of our lives, the good old cash flow cycle,
yes,
of more month over than money for most people, unfortunately.
Yes.
Tamir, one of the things that I had a look at your background a little, and one of the things that was quite clear to me, you know, you obviously stepped out of the world of corporate and corporate call centers and, you know, the sales space and really moved into an entrepreneurial space.
Yes.
Do you want to just give us a sense of kind of what made those jumps logical for you? Because I think there's a lot of people out there that are grappling with some of those challenges in their own space, and they're going, you know, I've either got a part-time small business that I've already started up, or I'm thinking of starting something. What made you make those jumps, and what was that logical connection point for you?
Well, but I come from an entrepreneurial family. If you know the Murats, my family is been entrepreneurs since the first one came over here from France with the wagon making companies and everything. So it's sort of in my blood. When my dad lost everything, I remember that day clearly. I called my younger brothers and I looked at them and I said, listen, we aren't meant for this. We're not destined to work for people. And the next few years, yes, it's going to be tough, but go out there and learn as much as you can. And at the end of the day, we're going to do it for ourselves. And when I was 23 years old and I started my first company, I remember that my boss, I don't want to mention the company's name, he bought me a brand new Mitsubishi Outlander for my bonus in December. When I looked at him, I said, if you can afford to buy me a 300,000 rand car for a bonus, then surely I made you, how much money did I make this company this year? And he looked at me and he says, well, you obviously know what you brought in. And I thought to myself, if I was making that guy so much money, surely I can do it for myself. And that is when I actually resigned. So his mistake was giving me a Mitsubishi Outlander as a bonus. It really woke me up. It made me think that if this is the money I'm making for this company, let's try and do it for yourself. And that's when I fell into call center. Yes, it wasn't easy. My first call center had 5 people working for me, and we were just trying our luck. You had your ups and downs. There were months where you actually looked at your wife and said, listen, I'm about to fold. I need to go and work for a boss again. And then all of a sudden, you hit the jackpot with a proper product and a proper lead base. And that's how I built myself. And then over the years, the call center just grew to the point where I own about 6 different products, and we're selling it across the base. So, I would take it back a step and say that my boss giving me the Mitsubishi Outlander sort of awakened the entrepreneurial spirit in me.
So for bosses out there, don't give people cars.
I was going to say, so lesson learned here, do not recognize your staff when they achieve. Is that the message?
No, don't recognize him with a holiday, with a 20 grand holiday overseas, or give him a double check. But geez, when the guy gave me a 300,000 rand car, it sort of, you know, it made me think, if you can afford to give me that, then what, how much, and obviously I was an entrepreneur, so I was thinking of doing it for myself, and then I just broke away and I started my own businesses.
But Thamir, I guess you give another person who's not yourself a 300,000 rand car, and they just say thank you, and they're very excited, and they continue working. So you were ready from various aspects, from your upbringing, from who you are, you know, there's quite a few factors that came together there. And you never look back. But as you say, and I like that point, there are times that you have to look your wife in the eye or whoever and say, I think I must fall back on plan B. But then you don't. Yeah. I mean, those times are there without a doubt. And that's good for people to know, I will cross that bridge, but I must walk over. I can't turn back and go to this side of the river. I've got to go to the other side.
Hmm. Yeah, I remember about 2 or 3 years.
Thamir, just very quickly, Thamir.
Rand left in your bank account, and you're thinking to yourself, "How?" Yes.
I think when you move too much on Skype, I'm not too sure. You know, we're missing some of what you're saying, and we don't want to do that.
Apologies.
So if you can be as you know, not move too much, otherwise we must go to a phone. But we don't want to miss what you're saying. Start again.
Okay, yeah, I'm saying a few years, probably about 2 or 3 years ago, I was a couple of bar down with 20,000 rand in my bank account. And I actually looked at my wife as well, saying, listen, this is the end. And those are the moments that you actually pick yourself up, and you got to go out there. So a lot of times, a lot of people think that success drives me. It's not really that. I would honestly say that fear drives me. Fear of not having money, fear of not achieving my goals, fear of not being able to buy what I want, fear of not being able to support my kids. So sometimes fear is good. You know, fear makes people do things that they really wouldn't do under ordinary circumstances. So, you know, a lot of people out there say that success should drive you. But I'm of the school of thought that says I love my fear. My fear drives me.
Very interesting point, because one would think that the higher form of motivation is not fear, but passion, wanting to make a difference. And maybe that is the ideal. But you sound like you've tried to make fear your friend.
Well, Adrian, yes. If you look at my background, I explained to you what I went through. My dad, I drove a Mitsubishi Outlander when I was 16. You know, we had BMWs. We drove Mercedes Benzes. We lived in massive houses. My dad really looked after us well. And then when you lost everything, the fear of going back to that space where you're actually sleeping in a bucky or a truck for 3 months, eating avocado pears and bread and Doritos chips, thinking, you're live, that fear drives me. I don't ever want to go back there. And I think that is what pushes me to become a serial entrepreneur. A lot of people say that find what you're good at and you'll never have to work a day in your life or make that your niche. I don't agree with that either. And a lot of people can disagree with me, but I feel do what you're good at, irrespective of if you like it or not. And then you will be able to do what you like. So what I'm doing at the moment is I'm trying to do as many things or do as many businesses as possible that I'm good at. And that will make me the money to be able to do what I want to do, to be able to do what I love.
Thamir, we're going to try and put you on a line, phone line, so everyone else out there, stay with us. The Skype is not helping us too much today. So just stay there. Palesa will call you in a moment, put you on the phone, and then we'll see if we can do better that way.
No problem.
Okay, cheers. Richard Louis, he's quite a passionate guy and it's a great story. It's the kind of story people want to hear, isn't it? Louis, your comment and then Richard.
Richard, your career, Ardian always just said, I'm not a salesman. And I told him, that's ridiculous. Everything he does is selling. In your case, it's the same thing. I mean, you're not a CA anymore. Long since not a CMA, just a CA. You're a salesperson.
Yeah, I think Tamir's comment there about you're always selling. I mean, the reality, if you arrive somewhere to sell something, a service, a product, whatever it may be, and somebody doesn't want to buy, the reality is they're actually also selling. They're selling back to you their message that I'm not in the buying mode.
Mm.
We buy and sell all day, all at all times. We trade, what we're doing all day. I mean, that's literally life is about a buy and sell of ideas, concepts, just way of thinking. So I think the comment there is probably one of the more universal comments that if you don't know how to sell, if you don't know how to position, you're going to be the taker. And then other people will prescribe for you, not the other way around.
Okay, we've got Tamir back on the line. Welcome.
Arjun, yes, thanks. I just want to comment on that as well. As entrepreneurs, I speak at a lot of sales summits around the world and startups. I train people from how to sell themselves. And what I've noticed is that a lot of entrepreneurs have the ideas, but they can't sell that idea. Mm. So it's not, you know the saying, people buy from people first?
Mm.
What I've noticed, especially in Antalya, I just got back from a startup Turkey in Antalya, 100 of Eurasia's best entrepreneurs. And I promise you, the guy that won could sell himself the best from stage. Mm-hmm. There were so many bad ideas out there, but as entrepreneurs, we need to invest in our sales health.
So how do we, I mean, a lot of people leave corporate. So Richard, you're a good example. You weren't a classical salesperson. You were a CFO at a young age of F&B Corporate. Yeah, 27 already, 27, young.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness. So obviously you sold yourself well and you were good at what you did, but you didn't see it that way necessarily. Mm. Then you left. And a lot of people, Tamir, they leave corporate for a lifestyle change, start a restaurant or start doing something that I maybe passionately like. But then they forget. They then think, or consultants is a very good example. I become a consultant to train people, to coach them or to do. But then I forget that business is nothing without me selling. And that's the part that I actually hate because I probably don't understand what selling really is.
Yeah, Adrian, I actually just had a conversation with one of my cousins yesterday. He was a medical doctor. And even he said that the biggest mistake that he made while studying was that he didn't invest in his sales health. Because you become a doctor, no one tells you that afterwards you actually got to sell to find your clients. So even if you open your own practice, what are you doing? You got to sell yourself and sell your practice and market your practice to be able to get clients. So, yeah, at the end of the day, becoming an entrepreneur in any field, you got to make sure that you stay hands-on and you obviously sell your product or sell your business to the general public.
What is a nicer way of communicating what selling is? You know, sometimes it's just the use of words. When you say to a doctor you're a salesman, then he pulls up his nose. I mean, that's not what I am. I'm a doctor. But what is there a nicer way of communicating what selling is?
Well, I don't know. I think that we've been brainwashed to think that sales is like, you know, if you tell you I'm in sales, it's almost as if I can't get anything better.
Yeah.
You know, if anybody falls into sales, I remember when I told my folks that I'm going to be a sales guru, they looked at me and can you not do anything else with your life? So people tend to think that, really, come on. Sales is a profession. Sales is a job. So I wouldn't put it any other way. I am proud to say I am a salesman. I've made sales my life. I made sales my passion. I love doing it. And I think people should be proud of saying the fact that I sell.
But the essence of life is selling. Just like we say, people seem to think I'm an accountant and then I'm a leader, or I'm a salesman, then I'm a leader. Or we say your first profession as a human being is leadership. Everyone have that part in them that is about persuading, that is about caring, that is about making things happen. Everything that's good in you is the leadership part of you. So in our game, we say, whether you think you're a leader or not, you are a leader. And in your game, you say, whether you think you sell or not, you sell.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people try and sugarcoat it, but I'm a salesman, and I'm proud to say that I train people how to sell. Luckily, I'm on a higher level where I close bigger deals, but at the same time, I'm a salesman. Whether I'm selling a can of 7 Stars energy drink at a rugby field, or whether I'm selling a link
that's going to be shipped. I'm selling. You know, at the end of the day, I'm a salesman. There's no better way to sugarcoat it, and I wouldn't want to sugarcoat it. I call myself a salesman.
Okay, Richard has a question, but I don't want us to leave today without you saying, therefore, if you sell everything, that the universal principles in selling is A, B, and C. So I don't want us to forget to do that before we leave. Richard, go for it.
So, Thamir, you're a salesman, but you're also you were also a finalist in Mr. South Africa in 2000. You were a head judge in 2013. I'm kind of going, okay, so how do these experiences help you improve your understanding
Richard,
of South Africa?
I actually said it earlier. It's about, you know, your network determines your net worth, right? You guys obviously know that saying. So what I try to do is I try to have a bit of everything. I started out really young as a model, and I entered Mr. SA. In 2013, the organization actually approached me to enter again. They said that they couldn't really find a good Mr. SA for the last couple of years that can stand himself and can take the organization to another level. And they actually pitched me, flew me up to Joe's and said, listen, we want you to enter. We're scouting guys to enter that can actually take it to another level. I looked at them and said, listen, but I'm really past that. So I'll come on board as a judge and I might sponsor something because I've become a businessman now. The organization obviously did their checks on me and felt that I would be the best to judge it. So, yeah, I had an awesome experience. I brought over George Morales, my partner in my production company. We filmed the whole 2013 rundown, and we aired on YouTube, and yeah, it was an experience. You know, you try and tap into everything that you can, anything to get your name out there. And if you look at again, what was that? Why did I accept? Because I'm selling myself. All of a sudden, it's another thing that you can add to your portfolio. So at the end of the day, it's all about selling yourself and branding yourself and marketing yourself. And that's probably why I did it in 2013. I said yes purely because of the exposure that I would get because out of being able to call myself the head judge for Mr. South Africa.
Okay. So
I would have preferred Mr. South Africa, though. I won't lie.
Oh, yeah. Now, I mean, Thamir, if I look at, you know, what you've got in your portfolio of businesses, I mean, the one thing that comes across quite clearly is you've positioned yourself in almost, you know, as a buyer's agent in some of the work that I've seen that you're doing in terms of getting the public out there the best deals and effectively negotiating on their behalf discount structures and the likes.
Yes, that is where we make our real money.
Yeah. So, you know, what's got you to that value proposition? What's been your thinking?
Perfect. This is how it started. When I was a few years ago, well, I probably would say about 8 years ago, when I went through that bad period in my life, you end up doing well. I owned a call center, financial services product, Metropolitan Building, top floor, prime position. And then all of a sudden, after 2 years, you're living like a cowboy. You're enjoying your life. You're young. We started struggling again. And at that stage, I sat and I thought, listen, what is the most easiest, because everybody was looking at technology, and I thought to myself, surely there has to be ways to make money where you don't really need to have a technological brain or invent something. I sat and I came up with the idea for the Get Smart Card. It was my first loyalty product where I made it really simple. Clients pay us a service fee of 99 rand a month, and for that they get discounts at different businesses or different entities that we negotiate for them. But what makes it different from companies like I don't know if I can mention them, but amazing vouchers and all these other different discount or loyalty cards is that we are actually a personalized discount finder. And that is where I changed the product. I sat and I thought that if you can pay me 99 Rand a month or a company 99 Rand a month, we give you access to probably 20 or 30,000 different entities that we've negotiated for you across the country where you get buy one, get one free meals. You get stay one at get what buy one at get stay one at free at holiday resorts. And at the same time, if we can act as a personal discount finder, surely that 99 Rand, which is 3 Rand a day, you'll save over and above probably 10 times a month. And that has worked for me. The formula for most of my loyalty cards works where we act as a personalized discount finder. We've got a rep in every province. If you need him to go with you hand in hand to the Volkswagen garage or the Mercedes or the BMW garage and negotiate a deal for you. Remember, a lot of everything's out there is a negotiation, and a lot of people don't know that. Mm-hmm. So what I think to do is I employ people like me who will go out there and negotiate a deal for you, anything you want to buy. If you want to make a booking at a restaurant, give our call center a call. We'll book a table of 10 for you, and we'll get you 10% discount. So at the end of the day, what happened was I sort of built the discount cards. I own six of them at the moment, targeted at different entities. The scorecard targeted at rugby players or sports people, which I own with Corne Krieger, by the way. The City Sneaker card, which I own with Tracy McGregor, targeted more at the upmarket crowd. The Get Smart card, which is targeted more at the low income. So I sort of built a whole lot of loyalty cards where the basic concept is we are a discount negotiator. So people pay us a fee to basically find them discounts.
Okay. So that's the essence of where you make money, and it's great to talk to you as a serial entrepreneur. Our time is up, so I want to end with you telling us, what are the universal principles of selling? So for small business owners, there are people who think they aren't salesmen, and that's the worst part. Universally, what do a really – you say we all sell, okay?
Yeah.
So even someone on Idols, we think they win because of their brilliant voice. No, they probably sell themselves well on the stage, and that's why people vote for them. So tell us, what are the universal commonalities amongst people who sell themselves or their product well? One must be passion, surely, for example.
Yeah, passion, of course. But I would actually say that the first sale in life is to sell you to yourself. If you're not sold on your importance, nobody else will be. And that is where a lot of salespeople lack. Mm. They aren't sold on their importance. They go out there, it's like Adrian asked me earlier about, would you call yourself a salesman? If you've got to make sure that, is this something that you're going to do just to get by? Or is this something that you're going to do to really make your profession? And any profession out there, like you just mentioned of Idols, you've got to be able to market and sell yourself. A lot of people lack that, and that's why I would say read as many sales books as possible. Go to as many seminars as possible. Invest in your sales health. I am still attending, even though I hold conferences, I still attend as many sales training classes and as many sales training seminars as possible. So I would say that the first step is to invest in your sales health. You can't go and become a bodybuilder if you're not gymming every day. So how do you expect to become a sales expert if you aren't going and investing in your sales health?
Okay.
So yeah, and then if you want to go on to universal principles of sale, I can go from A to ABC. You know the drill. Everybody's okay. Always saying different sales training techniques.
Mm. Now you've touched on the essence. Sell yourself to you. I mean, that is just so. That says a lot to me. And I think most of us must realize: have I bought myself, or have I bought what I believe in?
Have I sold myself to me? Mm. Yes.
Tamir, thank you so much. I hope we can have you on again. I think that was inspirational, as always, interesting, authentic, real. And I think I think we must walk around saying selling is cool. I'm a salesman. It's cool to be a salesman, you know, that sort of thing.
Yes.
That'll work for your profession. Thanks for joining us. Really great having you with us.
Thanks for having me.
All the best. Bye-bye. All right. That's fascinating. I mean, our time is up, Richard, but some energy, passion, that's what we're looking for on these shows.
Yeah, it's always interesting to, as you listen to that energy and passion, you always recognize the ups, and you also recognize that the downs, you know, the cash flow crisis, the things that they're dealing with, very similar, same things
everywhere,
over and over again.
Yeah. Okay, this conversation was brought to you by Trudon. Visit trudonhome.co.za for all your small business marketing needs. Trudon, it's our business to grow your business.
Ivan Cleaners, Worcester. Conrad speaking.
Hi, Conrad. This is Chad from the Glen Gables Hotel in Worcester. We're looking for a new cleaning service. I found your number on the internet. Would you be interested?
Yeah, flip, great. Where are your offices?
Well, on the corner of Alaho and Aldo, across from the Beef Cack and Tag Shack.
Cack and what?
There's more than one Worcester out there. Reach a more relevant audience by advertising with the Yellow Pages. Visit yellowpages.co.za and get listed online with South Africa's most trusted business directory. Yellow Pages, for local, reliable results.